All right, we are going to start our trip around the AFC West. And, boy, the Kansas City Chiefs, the one thing they did not – well, this is true of any team. All right, when you have a key member of the team go down for the year, and that was the case with Spencer Ware with his injury. Here to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs is Blair Kirkhoff, Chiefs reporter for the Kansas City Star. Blair, my name is Grant Napier, along with Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you guys are, too.
Well, we're doing well. All right, so the loss of Spencer Ware means what for this team?
It's not insignificant. He led the team in rushing last year. He's a tough, hard-nosed running back, but not a Pro Bowl type of guy. And I don't think the Chiefs have a Pro Bowl type running back on the roster, but they do have depth. And it looks like the player that's going to step into the role now is a rookie, Kareem Hunt, out of Toledo, the Chiefs' third-round draft pick, who's had a really, really nice training camp and preseason. And then behind him, you've got a couple of guys in Charcandrick West and C.J. Spiller who have led their teams in rushing for a season, so there's some experience depth there. It's like Andy Reid said, they absolutely do not want to lose Spencer Ware, but they think they're okay at that position.
Does this do anything at the quarterback position? I might be reaching here, but you got Alex Smith who more manages the game. Then you got a young guy in Patrick Mahomes behind him that might be a little more dynamic. You lose a dynamic back. Does it do anything, or is Alex Smith just definitely the starter and Mahomes is going to have to wait?
Right. That's the case, and it should be. Alex Smith is, as you say, he's more of a game manager type. There's no doubt about it. Nobody's going to list him among the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL or maybe even the top half of the AFC, really. Maybe right around the middle of the pack in the AFC. And the Chiefs are good with that. They've been good with that. He's been their starter as long as Andy Reid has been the coach, and his record as a starter in Kansas City is 41 and 20. He's led him to playoff seasons 3 of the 4 years, and then after the 15th season, Chiefs had their first playoff victory in more than 2 decades. So they're not unhappy with Alex Smith. And, in fact, they see in Smith not only a steady kind of field general sort of guy, but somebody who can serve as a mentor to Pat Mahomes. And Alex even understands that. And they're going into the season with the idea that Mahomes will take over at some point, whether it's in 2018 or 2019. Alex Smith is under contract through 2018. But so Alex Smith is going to serve sort of that dual role of trying to get the Chiefs back into the playoffs while serving as a mentor to Patrick Mahomes, who's had a really solid preseason. And this is unusual for Kansas City to have the quarterback of the future on the roster. Mahomes was the first round draft pick as a quarterback for the Chiefs since 1983. So instead of looking at other teams and for their quarterbacks or their backups, the Chiefs went out and drafted one, have identified him as the quarterback of the future. But we all know how it goes. As soon as Alex Smith throws a pick or has a bad game, everybody would be clamoring for Mahomes. But I think Andy Reid is steadfast in the idea that Alex Smith is going to be his guy throughout the year.
When we look at this Kansas City Chiefs team, their defense is really good. How good is it, in your opinion?
It's good and it's better than last year's for a couple of reasons. Last year, they go into the playoff game against the Steelers at Arrowhead, and Derek Johnson's not on the field because he missed the last 4 games with a torn Achilles tendon. Justin Houston, the outside linebacker, is on the field, but he's hobbled and much less than 100%. So the Chiefs were playing shorthanded. Both those guys are back. This year, they actually finished 26th in the NFL in rushing defense last year, so they changed some things in the middle, brought in Benny Logan from the Eagles and Roy Miller from the Bucks. They feel like they've really upgraded themselves in the interior of the defensive front. And then you've got Marcus Peters on the left side, a cornerback who I think is one of the best in the NFL. They think they're in good shape defensively. They shore up a couple of the places where they were kind of mediocre last year, and they think that defense is going to be better than last year. So they did lose Spencer Ware. They're without Jeremy Maclin. They released him, their top wide receiver from a couple of years ago. But this is a Chiefs team that thinks it's better than last year when it went 12-4.
A very dynamic tight end in Travis Kelce that looks to really maybe make that splash. I mean, last year he did. Can he maybe even take his game to another level? Do you see that in him?
He's he's really good. I think next to Gronkowski, he's the best tight end in the AFC. Certainly the most productive when it comes to receptions and yards. So, he ended up being the team's leading receiver last year. And if it's not Tyreek Hill, it'll be Kelce again this season. It's just the way that the Chiefs use the tight end, use that position, and Kelce's exactly the type of guy that fits what Andy Reid wants to do in the passing game. You know, passes to the tight end, or they're usually the safe passes in Kansas City is a safe passing team. Alex Smith doesn't throw many touchdowns, but he doesn't throw many interceptions either. They don't turn the ball over. They're always in the plus when it comes to giveaway, takeaway, and Kelce kind of fits the mold of what they want from that guy.
Yeah, that's a great point you make, because, you know, it's so unusual to think that in 2017, a team can be as good as the Kansas City Chiefs without throwing the ball downfield to wide receivers for touchdowns. I mean, you would think that's just not possible with the way the game's played, but the formula seems to work very well for Kansas City.
It does. Now, it takes some other things for it to work. I mean, you've got to, you're not throwing a lot of touchdown passes, but you are throwing a high percentage. You know, I think Alex wants to be up at 68-69% completion percentage, and it's a lot of short stuff. And sometimes, look, when they're facing third and eight, you know, they really depend on yak yards. They'll complete the one underneath and really count on the receiver to get the extra two or three needed for the first down. Doesn't always work, but look, it helped get them to 12-4 in a division title a year ago. And I know I mentioned him briefly, but Tyreek Hill is really a special player, and he's going to be their number one wide receiver this year. He's the fastest guy in the NFL and scored rushing, receiving, punt, and kick return touchdowns last year. So he's a guy that the Chiefs are really excited about. And I don't think they really understood what they had in him last year, moved him all around, but they know now, and that helped make Jeremy Maclin expendable to the Chiefs. So look for Tyreek Hill to be the team's top wide receiver.
Blair Kirkhoff, Chiefs reporter for Kansas City Star. You mentioned Tyreek Hill in the fact that he was able to do so many different things, now being the number one receiver. And then you mentioned something that I find interesting is yards after the catch, getting him the ball and letting him do his thing. Just two-prong. One, do you see a lot of that this year again? And will we see him at all, punt returns, kick returns, those type of things, or just at the wide receiver?
Yeah, that's a good question, because where the Chiefs didn't know exactly what they had in him last year, so they put him all over the place, they do have a much better understanding of what his abilities are and what his strengths are. And with him elevating to the top wide receiver position, they want to take a little bit off of his plate. So he's not going to return kickoffs. In fact, they've got the Anthony Thomas, the old Oregon speedster, back there returning kicks. But Tyreek Hill will be the punt return specialist. And and they'll line him up in the slot occasionally, and they'll line him up in the backfield. He had a couple of 70-plus yard touchdown runs a year ago. He really is incredible in space. There is the whole idea for the Chiefs is going to be get him free, get him out in space somewhere, and he can just outleg somebody to the end zone. And the Chiefs are going to try to find a way to do that as much as they can this year. But yeah, a little more efficient with his touches. He led the NFL in yards per touch last year, like 15.5. He led the NFL in punt return yards. He led the NFL in scoring plays of more than 70 yards. He is a special talent.
We're talking with Blair Kirkhoff, Chiefs reporter for the Kansas City Star. Listening to you, and again, I picked last week, I thought the Chiefs were the team to beat in the AFC West, and then I kind of changed my opinion today when I saw the injury to Spencer Ware. But you think they're going to be able to overcome that. When you look at this division and you take a step back, do you think the Chiefs are the best team in the division? And if not, tell me where you're going.
Well, I think it's like it was last year. I think it's the Chiefs and the Raiders, and there are a couple of interesting factors to me. Chiefs play a little bit more difficult schedule. They play the first place schedule, which means New England, and they travel to New England. Actually, the Raiders play New England too, because the West plays the East this year. But the Chiefs play all the first place teams from the other divisions, and so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But the Chiefs have a whammy now over the AFC West. They've won 11 straight games against AFC West competition, including four in a row over the Raiders. Derek Carr has not had good games against the Chiefs. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they just have something on him, but they've done exceptionally well against the Raiders, and so the Chiefs do have that going for them. So, you know, filing under the intangibles, Chiefs schedule maybe a little bit more difficult, but their success against the West under Andy Reid is unquestioned. And I don't know if that's, these are the kind of things, you know, how it is that you can depend on, but those are the trends of the last couple of years. I find it pretty interesting.
We really appreciate the time. Thanks very much for joining us. And hopefully when we get to the Raiders and the Chiefs during the regular season, I think they play that Thursday night game out here. We'll get you on that week to preview the game. We really appreciate it. Thanks very much, Blair.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks, All right, Blair.
So there you have it. Coming up, we're going to preview the Chargers at 5:30. All right, so when we come back, I read a story over the weekend that's one of the funniest and saddest stories at the same time, and I'm going to read it when we come back. You will not believe. I read it on the airplane flying to Dallas and was literally laughing out loud. I'm going to share that with you when we come back. So, you know, last week we were talking about ESPN's what I thought was a ridiculous, absurd, stupid overreaction taking broadcaster Robert Lee from a game that was being played at Charlottesville, right? So one of my favorite columnists is Phil Mushnick of the New York Post.
Oh,
so
boy.
I want to read this, okay? I was laughing out loud on the plane flying to Dallas on Friday. You ready for this one?
I don't know if I
As am, Howard but... Cosell reported, when George Halas died, it was inevitable. It had to come to this. ESPN is now officially satire-proof. And then he goes on and says, and more changes are coming from the worldwide leader. Veteran anchor Bob Lee, real first name Robert, last name pronounced Lee, no longer will be confused with Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Henceforth, Lee will be known as Odell Beckham III.
Come on.
ESPN anchor Reese Davis, often mistaken for Confederate President Jefferson Davis, will now be identified as Pee Wee Reese. As for Robert Lee, the Asian-American ESPN play-by-play man, who was removed from calling a Virginia football game lest his name spark another race-based riot near the school's Charlottesville, Virginia campus, has been given 5 name change options by ESPN.
No way.
He must choose among, number 1, Ulysses S. Grant, number 2, Walt Bellamy, 3, Spike Lee, 4, Dow Jones, and 5, Mao Zedong. Speaking of Asians in America, Leland Stanford, founder of Stanford University, was, among other things, the money and motivation behind the building of the western half of America's Transcontinental Railroad, completed in 1869. Much of the dirtiest work was given to underpaid and overworked Chinese laborers. Thus, ESPN today will announce that it will not televise Pac-12 games until Stanford's name is changed to Stephen A. Smith State, or all identifiably Asian students and faculty are expelled. That's enough. I can't compete with ESPN for the ridiculous. And what the country knows apparently is lost on the shot callers at ESPN. You can't watch ESPN without wonderment, as in, what the bleep are they thinking? I was just like, wow.
I don't know.
I was laughing. I'm reading that, and I'm just like, I'm laughing out loud. I mean, listen, here's the deal, all right? Then he goes on and says, yet ESPN possesses the kind of social sensitivity, historical perspective, and circumstantial foresight to remove Asian American Robert Lee from a college football assignment in Virginia because he might add fuel to protesters' flames, as he naturally would be linked with Confederate
Sure.
General Robert E. Lee, 1807 to 1870.
Come on, man. When you showed me who he was, we had a real good laugh in here because it blew my mind.
He's Asian American.
Yeah, I mean,
come on. I mean, it's absurd. Anyway, I wanted to read that because I was just like, wow, that is just spot on.
Well done by him.
All right, let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Grant and Doug, how you guys doing this afternoon?
What's up, Mike? Good to hear from you.
Hey, man, I had to call in and say this to you, Grant. I moved to Northern California when I was 25 years old, man. I'm 46 now. For the better part of the two decades, you've been filling my airways, man. I mean, I always liked your style. We both got Ohio roots. I always like your stories that you give that are kind of non-sports related, like when you recap how you got into radio with Doug, how you mentored with Jim Tichy. Yep. I grew up watching Jim Tichy. That was awesome.
How about that? Isn't that something? That's amazing to me.
Two guys out in Ohio, you tell a story, and I'm totally relating to every word you're saying.
Wow.
We've always had great Giants-Cowboys debates over the years, and I've always been just a tad envious of you. I think you got the best job in the world. You get to watch world-class athletes like the man sitting right next to you, playing basketball every night, and get to talk about on the radio. You know, but never, never in the two decades have I been out here have I been more envious of you than today when I heard the story about you sitting down with the great Roger Staubach. And it was like I was blown away by just you sitting there and he's having this football discussion with you. Now, I grew up with him, you know, watching him in the state. He's one of my first heroes. I made my wife, who's somewhat of a football fan, she's a millennial. I'm a Gen Xer. I made her sit down and watch a football life with me just so she could learn about this guy. And at the end of the show, we're both in tears because I didn't even know about some of the stuff he did after his career. But when Hollywood Henderson was telling the story about how Roger literally saved his life when he was battling drugs, I'm like, you could not write a movie about a character like Roger Staubach and people would believe it. The guy is literally Captain America. It's one of those things where people ask you, if you could have a conversation with anybody dead or alive, you know, who would be among your three? Roger would be one of those people.
Wow.
I'm so envious that you got a chance to sit. You're a Giants fan, a lifelong Giants fan, and just sitting here talking about, you know, the respect you have for a cowboy, a guy that, you know, a natural rival. Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey. His favorite player is Roger Staubach. Like, I'm blown away that you had this incredible opportunity. Incredibly envious of you, but at the same time, I'm glad you got that experience.
Well, I was so blessed growing up in the era that I did and watching all of these, when I say all of these, so many Hall of Famers. I watch play in person at Yankee Stadium. I mean, think about that. I watched Jim Brown play. I watched Gale Sayers play.
Mind blowing.
I mean, I watched all of the greats that I think, you know, I watched Dick Butkus play. I watched, you know, and Roger Staubach and Bob Hayes, you know, as a kid, I couldn't wait to see Bob Hayes because I knew I was going to watch the fastest human. And then the stories that Roger and I, well, when I say me, but I told Roger, I said, Roger, I got to tell you, as a kid, I remember going to the Giants game and seeing Bob Hayes and what a thrill it was knowing that I was going to watch the fastest human. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, Mike, you know, like I've always heard great things about Roger and, but when I had the chance, and I'll tell you what else, Mike, at the end of the night, it wasn't even the end of the night. The band was playing and a lot of people were dancing and he and his wife were standing near the table and my wife and I were kind of on the other side of the room. He looks at me, Roger Staubach does, and raises his hand and I walk over and he says to me, he goes, hey, I didn't want to leave without saying goodbye to you and your wife and what a pleasure it was meeting you.
Wow.
This is Roger Staubach. He goes, but we've got to leave now. And I said, hey, it was an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to you and your wife and thank you very much. But how about that, Mike? Instead of just getting up and leaving, he was looking for me and my wife to say goodbye before they left. How classy is that?
Classy.
That gives me chills. I mean, if you've never seen the football life where they focus on them, I encourage all your listeners to watch. It's real inspiring. But my dad got me his football helmet when I was 8 years old. That helmet went to Kent State with me. You know, I have it on my desk in my office right now. And God willing, when my son heads off to college, it's going to go with him too, man.
That's great.
One of my all-time heroes, man. I'm just so envious of you. I'm just glad you got that experience, Grant.
Hey, I appreciate it, Mike. Good hearing from you as always. You take care.
You got it, brother.
We'll be right back. Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier. Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
Hope you are doing well. We're with you right up until 6:45. How about Deshaun Kizer starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
How bad are
they going to be this year?
Yeah, but okay. So would you start your rookie if you think he's going to be your guy, or do you bring him along slowly?
A lot depends on my offensive line. A lot depends on was the competition in camp close.
Okay.
You know, if it's close and I could go either way, I would start my youngster.
Okay. It seems, especially at that particular position, Grant, it's sensitive because making sure that there is a level of success that doesn't take away and crush their confidence and different things like that. But they believe in this young kid.
You like cars?
Damn right I do. Come on.
Yeah, it's his garage.
What is that, a showroom?
It's the guy's garage.
That's not a garage, Grant.
No, that is a garage.
That's what we call a showroom, Grant.
No, no, it's his garage.
Good God.
I'm showing Doug pictures of a friend of mine and his collection of vehicles.
Hey, man.
Oh, and he's got the...
I got the wrong friend sometimes,
that's
man.
Come on. Oh, no, that's the... I'm showing Doug a picture of a Formula One, the exact Formula One race car from Michael Schumacher, and Michael Schumacher autographed it. It's the actual car from Michael Schumacher. Yeah. And he's got, you know, the old cars.
Is a garage a circle?
Yeah.
It really?
Yes.
I was joking when I asked that. Ladies and gentlemen.
You thought I was joking, right?
Yeah, some people.
No, you thought I was just kidding, didn't you?
Everything's bigger in Texas. That's what they say.
Right? Apes.
Yes.
You thought I was just thought I was kidding, right?
I didn't think I was going to see what you're showing me right there. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we'll see a couple cars. Goodness gracious, man.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he let you take pictures. Some things you can't.
He did, but he actually said, "Hey, I said to him, I go, can I take pictures?" He goes, "Yeah, but don't put it on social media or anything, because you know."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Can I show my friends?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah, no." He goes, "Of course," but he goes, "Don't, you know?" I said, "Yeah, no, I won't do that."
Yeah, you don't want to be. Wow.
How about that, huh?
That is. You got some good friends there, Nate.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You're a friend of mine.
Yeah. I'm sorry I brought your cachet down. I brought you back down to earth.
All right. I'm Grant Napier along with Doug Christie, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Back to, you know, quarterbacks. You know, the Jets to me are terrible. I don't think it matters who is going to be their quarterback. And today, you know, they name their quarterback. And I mean, like, really? Like, you're going to tell me that once again, I'm looking at a Jets team that looks lost. You know, Christian Hackenberg was not going to be the coach. He said he was disappointed, but, I mean, Josh McCown is the starting quarterback for the Jets in week one. How long do you think he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Jets? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? And then with DeShone Kizer. Now, when we see moves like this, and what it tells me is that those teams don't have a quarterback. And listen, DeShone Kizer is, I mean, why not, I guess is what you're saying, right, Doug?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you don't, obviously, they had a battle. Brock Osweiler loses out. DeShone Kizer, if he is your young stud, if he's your guy, you know, now you mentioned offensive line. Now, they have drafted pretty well there, so they have a decent offensive line that probably won't get the kid beat to death. And he has some legs, so he can probably move around. The experience, Grant, would be invaluable if you can keep him safe, because if they start drafting a little bit better, the Cleveland Browns could turn it around.
The Browns are not throwing the ball a lot. They're a running team, all right? They're also really committed to defense. That's why they drafted Myles Garrett. That's why they drafted Jabril Peppers. You know, they re-signed, what's his name? They re-signed Jamie Collins. They, you know, and as you said, their offensive line, you know?
Yeah.
They've got Joe Greco. They've got, you know, they've got guys that are good. But what do you really expect from DeShone Kizer?
Yeah, well, you know what, Grant, you gotta move up, and if he's gonna be your guy, you gotta give the kid some experience. And on top of that, if you can keep him on his feet, you can keep him safe. You're gonna be okay. Question for you: a team like the Jets and Coach Bowles, do you blame him and put him on the hot seat, or do you do kind of like they've done in Cincinnati and some other places where even though the team does good, doesn't reach where maybe the pinnacle that it needs to reach, but they keep the coach to show that you got some stability?
You know, in Cincinnati's case, in all fairness to Marvin Lewis, they had made the playoffs 4 or 5 years in a row until last year.
Right.
All right. Now, they didn't win. They haven't won a playoff game with Andy Dalton. But they did, you know, they won the division a couple times. They made the playoffs. They melted down in their last playoff game against Pittsburgh because of stupid penalties that would have gotten them, You know, but again, you know, to me, I look at the players that made the stupid penalties. That's been their MO their whole career.
Right.
You know, Pac-Man Jones.
Yep.
You know.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Why would that surprise anybody?
I don't think it does. I just think that sometimes if you think you got your guy, similar to the quarterback position in Cleveland with what they got there, if you think Kaiser's your guy, you go with him. I'm thinking the same thing with the coach. Even though it might not go well every single year, if you show that you got something stable, you build a system, eventually you get the players in there that match if that's your coach and you believe in them.
Regardless of who starts a quarterback for the Jets or the Browns, they're not going to be very good. They're just not. Now, I think the Browns will be better than the Jets. I think the Jets are terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. And I don't see any way the Jets... I think they're worse than the 49ers by far.
Wow. The Jets have just fallen off. I mean, from getting Brett Favre to the butt fumble to all the different things that have went on for a second there, you know, they were rolling, and they had some things happening. Now, they weren't winning playoff games and all that type of stuff, but they won a playoff game.
Who?
The Jets did.
Oh, yeah, well, they made it to the AFC Championship game with Mark Sanchez at quarterback because they had a great defense and they had the best offensive line in football, but they couldn't win in the playoffs. Well, they couldn't because at some point your quarterback's got to make plays and he wasn't ready. But that was quite a while ago. That was when they had the best offensive line in football. That's when they had arguably the best defense in football. So why the 49ers were so good under Colin Kaepernick. They had the best offensive line in football. They could run the ball, and they had a tremendous defense. See, I mean, that's if you don't listen, you don't have to be a great quarterback or even a good quarterback. Go ask Trent Dilfer. He won a Super Bowl because he had the Ravens defense.
That's a similar thing that I'm talking about with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Their defense is really good.
Yeah, and you got a quarterback in Alex Smith that it's probably better than Dilfer. I mean, he can manage the game, make some throws, all those different things. Can your defense take you to that next level, though?
All right, give me your thoughts if you want to chime in at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, the NFL will hear Ezekiel Elliott's appeal tomorrow. Do not expect any word on how things go for several days, maybe even a week to 2 weeks.
You know, Grant, I was reading up a little bit on that one, and what I think the questions that I had is like, what was the Ohio State police doing? But the key is the NFL has the ability to judge the players, I think it's Article 46, how they deem and see fit. Meaning Roger Goodell, he has the ultimate hammer that he can say, look, you are hurting our brand. So it goes past the legality. So it kind of answered some of the questions that I have. This is kind of past the legal side of things. Now the NFL is deciding what they want to do.
All right, so we've got the NFL. We got college football. There were a couple of games over the weekend, but Alabama will have the big game coming up this week.
Oh boy,
against Florida State. And so that's when you'll know that, you know, once again, we are talking about big-time college football. It's going to be this weekend.
Yeah, number one Alabama versus number three Florida State. And that, you know what that speaks to me, Grant, is if both of those teams are who we think they are, meaning they're 1-3, one of those teams is, I mean, you can still lose and make it to the playoffs, and that's going to be what happens. Because if Florida State is as good as you think, let's say Alabama beats them, they can still make it into the playoffs. This is a way that you start out a college football season. Second weekend, just jumping it off with a really, really good football
game. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, we'll be talking NFL football the following week. But, you know, when you look at Alabama, you know that they are as good as any team in football. Does it mean they're going to win the championship? No, they didn't win it last year. You know, they lost to Clemson. But it's hard to imagine them not being right there when the calendar rolls to November as being, you know, one of the top four teams in the BCS poll.
You know what? They're one of the top four teams in the BCS poll and probably one of the bottom teams in the NFL. that Alabama team is, they're always special. They get the top athletes. They get the top recruits on top of the fact that they're really well coached. We had the conversation about maybe is Saban overranked and all these things overrated, but you know one thing, he's going to put them out on the team, on the field, and they are going to do their jobs, and that always has them there at the end. If they're not winning it, they are right there.
And, you know, the latest on Alabama defensive lineman Raekwon Davis, he was released from the hospital. And he is day-to-day after being shot. And so one thing about what's gone on at Alabama, you cannot ignore, you just can't, you cannot ignore the mishaps off the field. Now, this is not just Alabama. You know, we've talked a lot about Baylor and other Division I programs, and I'm not blaming it on the head coach. I mean, I probably have a different opinion than many. I don't think you can blame a coach for an 18 or a 19 or a 20-year-old for doing something stupid at 2 in the morning. What's the coach supposed to do? Like, the coach can't. Do you think Nick Saban says, hey, guys, I want you to go out and get in trouble tonight? You know, I mean, at some point, you got to stop blaming the coach here.
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, you want to you want to sign guys who character base are good. But sometimes that doesn't even match with the stupid things that a kid does when he's 18, 17, 19 years old. And to your point about a coach, Grant, the last call that you want to get is that 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Yep. call, your phone rings, and all of a sudden there is a problem. It is part of, unfortunately, sports, college sports, pro sports, and it's something that you have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, he was shot by a stray bullet in the parking lot of a Tuscaloosa bar. All right, now, fortunately, it's not serious. All right, so that's really good. And again,
what time was that? Does it say there?
It was. I don't know what time it was.
I'm gonna go to say it was probably late. And the stray bullet part means that you're not in any mess. It sounds like
right.
It could be.
Yeah. No, that's
but
correct.
What are you doing in the parking lot? Take your butt home.
Yeah. Again, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been there and did that one though, Grant. Just
it was early. So it was this past weekend. It was early Sunday morning.
Okay.
Early.
Yeah, that means you.
But, you know, again,
You're a teenager.
That's exactly
you're having
right.
a good time. You know, I get it.
I mean,
but you got to make
decisions. I can't fault
that.
I can't. You know, but when your other defensive lineman is found asleep at the wheel and he's intoxicated.
Whoa.
You know, again, you just at some point you're just like, come on, really?
That's when, because see, this is the part of team sports, Grant, that is really, really interesting. And you gotta know that other people are depending on you. It's not about just you. It's about the team. So when you mess up, the team is the one that gets penalized. So that's where you got to look past yourself and know that everything that you're doing is a representation of your team, and you got a lot of people who are depending on you.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-921-1140. Again, I go back to this, though. I'm happy, and I think I speak for you as well, that we're talking about college football coming up in earnest this weekend.
Yeah, it is. You know what, Grant, when you got Saturday mornings, you wake up, you get to watch college football starting real early when you're on the East Coast. We're on the West Coast. And then you go right into Sunday. I mean, this is a time of the year that is just, it is absolutely a lot of fun. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm with you. It is just going to be absolutely dynamite just to get going, and we can talk about that. And then a week from this Thursday, the NFL season starts with the Chiefs and the Patriots. Again, let's talk about this game already. So you don't have Edelman out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a really good Chiefs defense. You've got New England, you know, the whole ceremony before the game, Foxborough. For something tells me this is going to be a close game.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I look at, you know, Amendola is going to have to step up because now that you lose Julian Edelman, he's going to have to step up. The young kid, Malcolm Mitchell.
Yep.
But, you know, he's always battling injuries. Those two, I would say that you don't have a fall off with Tom Brady in this one, Grant. I know that you're saying that it's going to be close. I think this is one that the Patriots, they come out and they get it. I think they're trying to send a message, Grant. Even though you lose a guy like Edelman, you're going to find a way to win because that is the Patriots' MO. It would be very impressive for the Chiefs to go and win. It would even be impressive for them to keep this one extremely close.
Yeah, so it's getting underway with college football this weekend, and then you've got the start of the NFL season on Thursday. For the Raiders, it's a trip to Tennessee. And, you know, I'm looking at Tennessee with Marcus Mariota. I'm looking at their running game. I'm looking at Tennessee as stepping up this year and being right there. Andrew Luck hasn't played. I don't know what's going on with the Colts. And I got to tell you this. We know about the natural disaster in Houston.
Yes.
And I am only going to say, when we have the pictures and the video, and I think most of us have been watching that and have been paying very close to attention, close attention, and if not, then something's wrong with you. I got to believe that's going to affect this football team. Now, you could say it could galvanize them, and you know, all I'm saying is they. I don't know how the Houston Texans are going to be able to train in Houston or play in Houston for quite a while. Again, the NFL hasn't said that. I'm just going by common sense here.
Well,
remember what happened in New Orleans?
That's where I was going with it. New Orleans had to move to Oklahoma City, and that's where they opened that building at, and the whole thing of the NBA seeing that a team could be there and live there. I agree, Grant. That's going to be really tough. Not to mention, Grant, there are a lot of players probably with Houston connections, family members, a lot of different things, heavy hearts in a lot of those areas. God bless to that area, but at the same time, you make a valid point. What is the NFL going to do, and how are they going to go about making sure that the business side of things continues?
Absolutely. I mean, and again, this is not important, but I'm talking about this because we're a sports show and the NFL season starts. You know, Houston's actually, you know, now moving to Dallas to play and practice there. I don't know anything about where their stadium is. I've been to the stadium. The Super Bowl was there last year, but I don't know in that particular area of Houston. But let's just say that the stadium's fine. How are people going to get there? And what people's lives have been turned upside down. This is not something that's just going to be fine in 2 or 3 weeks.
No.
This is going to be years.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take a long time. And you got to know that things like football, basketball, sports, it takes people's mind away. But it does not take the hearts away. It does not take the realism of what's going on. And right now, football, especially in that area, is totally secondary. It's past secondary because people are losing their lives, their homes, their valuables, all the different things that go along with legacies of family. And it's truly unfortunate. But for the NFL, like you say, because we're a sports show, how are they going to try to make all of this synergize and happen? It's going to be interesting to watch, Nate.
Yeah, and again, is it important? You know what? No, it's not important. But in terms of what we do on this show and talking about the start of the season a week from Thursday and, again, the start of the Houston Texans season, you know, a week from Sunday, 2 weeks from yesterday, I'm only going by the pictures and because of what happened in New Orleans and everything else. I just don't see, and they open up at home against Jacksonville on September 10th. I just don't see any way in the world that's going to happen.
You know, Grant, you say it's not important, but it is important a little bit because a lot of times sports bring a normalcy. It brings a synergy of people galvanizing and coming together in a lot of different things. So, it's not important, but it is important in some realms for people to continue on with their lives.
Now, because Jacksonville's a divisional game, they could switch that. They could say, hey.
And go to Jacksonville.
And then when Jacksonville was supposed to go to Houston on Sunday, December 17th, you know, so they could flip-flop that. But, you know, I'm looking at their schedule. After Jacksonville, they're at Cincinnati and at New England.
Okay.
So they could technically not have their first home game until October 1st. And you could say, well, gee, that's a disadvantage. You know what? Forget about what's a disadvantage right now. We're talking about people's lives that have been turned upside down. We're talking about people that have lost their lives. We're talking about people that have lost everything they have. Let's not worry about whether they got to be at home for 3 weeks in a row or on the road. That's not important. And I got to believe that every member of the Houston Texans organization would feel the same way. There are some things that are just bigger than sports. This is one of them. Yeah. All right, the NFL, in this particular case, down in Houston, they take a back seat to everything that's going on down in that part of the country. And it's tragic, And if Houston's got, if that's fine, you do what you got to do. The community comes first, the rebuilding and everything else. But it's just, boy, is it awful.
And you know, Grant, that's where sports comes in, because if you talk about the Rockets, now they got CP3 and Harden and some things. Then you got the Astros, who are playing fantastic. You got the college, who had the Heisman Trophy winner. And so there are a lot of different things, and hopefully all of that can help galvanize and bring up that whole area.
And they have the Houston Astros and Texas Rangers have had their series that's supposed to start tonight switched to Tropicana Field in Tampa.
Oh, that's too bad for them.
Hey, you know what? I got to tell you.
I find levity in everything.
I know, but you know what, though? And I'll tell you this. If you are a professional athlete, and I'm only – because this is a sports show.
Yes.
And you probably don't want to be in Houston right now, but the reality is you may have family, you may have friends, you may have, I got to tell you, man, to think that now you've got to go to a different state and get ready for a game, I don't know if I could do it, I got to tell you.
Well, you got to know that most of those players got their families out of there to wherever, maybe
probably.
They're from or whatever, because there was a little bit of notice ahead of time that helped people to evacuate and things like that. But and Grant, it sounds like there's going to be more rain and more flooding and all those different things.
All right, we are halfway through. Again, we're going to continue our previews around the AFC West. At the beginning of last hour, we previewed the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're going to look at the other teams in the AFC West, and we're going to take a look at the L.A. Chargers with Ricky Henney, reporter for Chargers.com, coming up at 5:30. This is Sports 1140 KHTK.